Welcome back, everyone, to the latest episode of the Blues on Parade podcast, where all we do is talk Chelsea and talk shit about everyone else. Podcast is coming to you a little later than normal, but nonetheless, we are recording. We have to review that Chelsea 4, Leicester 2 result, and here to join me is Mr. Som. So, Som, what's your initial feelings, man?
Man, it has been a long time since I've woken up for a 5:45 kickoff. But, you know, the circumstances, it was a cup quarterfinal. I couldn't delay it, so I championed my way through. I felt like throughout the entire time, like, holy shit, I regret waking up for this. But after, you know, the positive result against Newcastle the match before, I was like, all right, maybe we are cooking a little bit. And it took some last second heroics for us to pull it out. No thanks to one Raheem Sterling, but we did it. We're on to Wembley. A tough draw against City, but we've played them really well this season so far, so I don't know why I feel pretty decent about our chances in the semis.
I feel good because all four goals that were scored were beautiful, like in their own way.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, no deflections. I mean, maybe Nani's goal took a little deflection, but the build up to it, the techers, the touch, the step over.
Yeah, and we already had one at that point.
His left foot from his right. Yeah, I mean, that was beautiful. But, you know, just looking at the other goals, too, Chukwuemeka's goal, as good as it gets, it reminded me of Hazard and Costa back in the day. Cole Palmer took his goal.
You know what
really
it reminded
well.
Me of? It reminded me of Chukwuemeka in the preseason. Back throwback, right?
Yeah. Thought. Yeah. And we'll get to Chukwuemeka because I have a specific section for him. He deserves a lot of praise and talk, so I mean, let's just get through the starting 11 really quick. And the way I formatted this script, some, I know a lot of people aren't going to like this, but I want to talk about the negatives first, and then we'll get to the positives. And the good news is there was a lot more positives than negatives in this one. I mean, we could have talked about pretty much everybody on the pitch except Sterling, De Sassi, and Robert Sanchez. So Robert Sanchez returning in goal, Pochettino saying he needs more playing time. Not really too sure why, but he gets selected for this one. Malo Gusto returning to right back. De Sassi and Chalaba, the only fit center backs to start. So they started. Cucurella out on the left after a really good performance against Newcastle. No Enzo for this one, so Caicedo and Gallagher were the double pivot. And then he had Cole Palmer on the right. Mykhailo Mudryk positioned as the 10 initially to start the match. And Raheem Sterling out on the left. Nico Jackson up top. So, Sam, you kind of touched on it. You actually posted a really angry tweet during the game.
Yeah, usually those are from you, but I was fucking livid.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's just call a spade a spade. This was his worst performance in a Chelsea kit.
Not only that, Zach, that was probably the worst performance I've ever seen anyone have in a Chelsea kit. Maybe in any game ever for any team. Going into the match, we already had preconceived notions of Raheem Sterling. We know, people who have been listening know that we've been very harsh on him. Still, you know, trying to give him the benefit of the doubt at points. But this was it was just like an all-encapsulating performance of everything that I hate about Raheem Sterling. He had it all. The running into defenders, being selfish, the pen, the free kick. I mean, the one bright spot of his performance was that assist, and I gotta give him credit for that. But other than that, like, I saw some people rate him like a 4 out of 10. Zach, I would give him like a 1 out of 10. It was arguably one of the worst performances I'd ever seen. And I think at this point, I'm through. I'm officially done with Raheem Sterling. I want to say I never want to start again, but I know it'll happen, obviously. But I've officially given up on him. I hate him.
I mean, just looking at FopMob here, they gave him a 7.7 match rating.
Because he got an assist. That's fucking great.
He had an assist and 4 chances created, but they didn't talk about the missed chances. They didn't talk about the extra touches on 2 or 3 occasions on cutbacks. He only completed 13 out of 21 of his passes. That's 62%. And what else?
How many passes?
He connected 13 out of 21.
It's okay.
Only completed 1 dribble out of 4.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it.
You don't need to go through the stats. It's
But here's my thing, okay? Like, it was his worst performance in a Chelsea kit, no doubt. He did have a good moment when he got the assist, which did come shortly after the penalty miss. So I do give him a little bit of credit for, you know, not fluffing that chance and playing a really good ball to Cole Palmer. But what I'm going to be honest, man, I felt bad for him. The way he's being treated right now by Chelsea fans is just...
Oh, fuck him.
It's a little much. The bottom line is he's still wearing a Chelsea kit. So I'm not going to sit there and boo him and hope that he keeps stinking up the joint. But I do think there is criticism where criticism's due. Like, the facts are the facts. He's the highest paid player in our squad. He has, as Pochettino mentioned, over 10 years of Premier League experience now at this point. He's won trophies. He's played in some of the best sides England has seen in the last decade or so. And he scored a bunch of goals, created a bunch of assists, had his double-digit seasons. I just think it's blatantly obvious at this point that the good old days are behind him. And I think the decline did start at Man City. And we sort of did Man City a favor by taking him off of his hands. And I'm just going to read Poch's quote really quick. Because after the match, you know, it was clear that a lot of the players were still supporting him. And that's good to see, you know, Cole Palmer, Malo Gusto, you know, a bunch of players commenting on his Instagram post apologizing to Chelsea fans.
But yeah, Mauricio, I mean, they do that. They whatever. Yeah,
it's good. It's good to see. I mean, either way,
the one thing, sorry to cut you off. After the excuse me, the assist. Like, I saw more players go up to Raheem Sterling at first, then go up to Cole Palmer. I love that. That was great. I'll let you finish off your points, but I want to add something else after.
Yeah. So Mauricio Pochettino said after the match, he said, quote, "We need to support him. He's an amazing player. He has more than 10 years Premier League experience, and the contribution was good. He was a little bit unlucky with some actions, but we're a team and we need to be there for everyone." So again, I mean, I just got to ask, is the booing justified?
Yes, 100%, Zach. As their teammates, they have to work with him every day. Like, they have to maintain that good relationship. Us as fans, we don't have that kind of relationship with him. So they say the right things to try to, you know, Pochettino will say whatever to try to maintain the peace. The players, they, you know, like, you go into your workplace, if someone disrespects you, like, you're going to not try to make a big deal about it because you want to maintain, like, a, you know, whatever, I can't think of the right word, but just a good relationship. Exactly. You know, like a cordial relationship. So obviously that's different. Sterling, and I might be making a bigger deal about this than it actually is, but he's missed, I can't remember the exact number. I think he's missed his last 2 pens, and he's like 3 out of the last 7. So he's missed 4 out of his last 7 penalty attempts. He is by no means a great penalty taker. Cole Palmer has done nothing wrong this season. He is perfect on his penalty attempts. He's our designated penalty taker. The time that we won the penalty, it was 1-0. It was 1-0. The game was still on. We were by no means winning. Raheem Sterling was not thinking about the team. He was thinking about himself. That is selfish as fuck. He thought, okay, I'm in bad form. I want to get my hopes up. Whatever. I'm sorry. I keep on coughing. You know, he tried to take the penalty to boost his own confidence. Yeah, you could say that's better for the team if Raheem Sterling's in better confidence. But what's better for the team? We need to score a goal. Cole Palmer has been that guy. Don't fucking take the ball from him. And you saw Cole Palmer's body language. He didn't want to give it up. He looked away and handed it to him. Like,
I think it was a teammate supporting Sterling, honestly. Not saying that I agree with it. I'm in full agreement with you. I think it's a failure on, you know, whoever the on-pitch leaders are at that time. And it's also a failure on Pochettino for not putting your foot down. I don't care who needs to score a goal. It doesn't matter. You get your best penalty taker to take all the penalties. You put the game away as early as possible. You don't take a chance and say, here, Raz, you know, you get a penalty because you've been struggling lately and you could really do with seeing the ball go in the back of the net. Give the ball to our best penalty taker, smash it in the back of the net, and then if we're 2-3-0 up, then you give Sterling a penalty.
Yes, yes. Yeah, I disagree with you saying, like, I'm not gonna put an ounce of blame on who's captain again? Was it Gallagher? Okay, I'm not gonna put an ounce of blame on him. I'm not gonna put an ounce of blame on Pochettino. Raheem Sterling should not have asked for the ball in the first place. It is 100% on him. That was so selfish, and just from that moment on, it just got worse and worse. And I pray to God we figure out this is my issue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is Pochettino and why is the club so devoted to making sure that he is, you know, in a positive mindset because they're worried about him, you know, whatever, his form going even lower. Look at fucking Erik ten Hag, Man United. That guy dropped fucking Cristiano Ronaldo, one of the greatest players of all time, arguably the best player of all time, some people would say. He dropped him from the fucking squad. From Manchester United, a club that he started from.
I think it was Ole, regardless, though. But
it was Ole Gunnar who dropped him? It wasn't
Eric?
Yeah, okay, sorry. I might be getting it wrong. But Erik ten Hag with Jadon Sancho. Jadon Sancho was a way bigger investment for Manchester United than Raheem Sterling is for Chelsea. They loaned him out. They got rid of him. They're going to sell him for a loss. But they got him away from the club, because they wanted to drop him and he was having issues, and so they sent him off. Why the fuck can we not do that to Raheem Sterling?
But I think his issues were off the pitch, and I think but I get your point. Like, I agree.
But he wasn't contributing. Zach, he played for United for 2 years. He was shit, mm-hmm. and he got dropped from the squad. Then the off field issues came up because he was dropped. That could very likely happen to Raheem Sterling too, and I think that's fair for any player. Like,
yeah, 100%.
You're not gonna like it's good. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
No, no. Well, I'm agreeing, and I think waiting for Kendry asked, well, in his Twitter question, which we already kind of answered, he made a really good point. He said there must be ramifications, and basically that Sterling needs the Thiago Silva treatment, and I think that's 100% right. If you're going to look at Thiago Silva's game and see, okay, well, there's obvious deficiencies, you know, with the pace and with the inability for us to play a high line if he's in the squad. Well, why don't you look at the XG and why we haven't and why we're severely underperforming in that category? And then look at how many of those chances fall to Raheem Sterling and how many times he misses. Maybe he needs to be dropped from the team. And that's what I think needs to happen. I think it just needs to come down to the point where I don't think Sterling needs a hiatus. I don't think he needs necessarily a timeout. I just think he needs to get dropped from the starting 11, and he needs to understand that if he's going to get back into this team, he has to play his way in back into this team. And yeah. by doing that, he needs to be a bit part player. You bring him off the bench. You force him to make an impact, or you force him to be an impact player, rather, as opposed to continuously giving him starts at the detriment to guys like Chukwuemeka, guys like Mudryk up until recently, guys like Noni Madueke. You know, those guys are not getting as many chances or haven't gotten as many chances as they should have this season because Sterling's occupying their space and essentially doing nothing with it unless he decides to turn it on against Man City. And I think yeah. that's a frustrating thing with him is, like, he does turn it on when he wants to. Like, he does have decent performances, and he's had two really good performances against Man City this season. How is it that you can play against the best team in England and be a standout player for us, but you cannot perform against a Leicester, and you can't perform against a Newcastle last week, and you can't perform against
every other team.
Yeah.
Every other team.
Exactly. So that's my problem. It's like, we know the talent's there. We know what he's capable of. He's not going to he's not going to be messy in this team. You know, he's not going to be a type of impact player that Cole Palmer is being, or the type of impact player that Mo Salah is for Liverpool, or De Bruyne for City, and so on and so forth. That's not who he is. But he is a guy that could come in, he could chip in with goals, and he could chip in with assists. He just needs to get his head screwed on straight. But I think at this point in time, like, just going out there and just booing him nonstop and calling him shit and, you know, just basically burying him in the dirt, it's not going to do any good for Chelsea fans. It's going to make the environment more toxic, and it's definitely not going to turn Raheem Sterling's fortunes around. And if anything, even if you want Sterling out, you do want him to turn it around, because this summer we might be able to get a bigger bid for him.
I think it's already a loss. Like, we're not going to get a big bid for him. He's on a how many more years does he have on his contract? I think 3 or 4 more years. Like,
he's on a Saudi wage. That's the
only way. That's not going to happen. Saudi league is not going to be the same league next year. Yeah. I'm alone to the Saudi league. But the thing is, like, where we're paying most of his salary. But I have always been on the side of what you said. Like, booing the players is toxic. It does, you know, worse than it does good. But it's come to a point where the fucking manager is not listening. Like, we see the obvious, Zach. It is undisputed. Like, you can't make the argument that Raheem Sterling has been a positive contribution to this team. Not a single person can.
Yeah.
And I bet you if you put Pochettino on a fucking lie detector test, he couldn't tell you that, honestly. So, yeah. Like, how do we... The message isn't to Raheem Sterling. It's to Pochettino. Mm. Like, listen. The fans... You want the fans to get on your side? Take Raheem Sterling out. It's not to put down Raheem Sterling. I don't care about his feelings, but my intention is not to tell Raheem Sterling, you fucking suck. It's to tell Pochettino, everyone watching sees that he sucks. Stop playing him. You want to fucking get on the fans' good sides? Drop him from the fucking squad. It's in your best interest. Just do it. Like, I really am... It's gone to a point where, like, with Raheem Sterling, that it, like, to even me feel this way, because I never get this way about players. But this last performance, it officially, like, I've never been a fan of the signing. I've always given him a chance. Even when you and Andreas were completely out on him, I said I still think he's in our best 11. I've given him every benefit of the doubt. This last performance. And the perform and was it against Newcastle that he had that 2v1 and he didn't lay it off to Cole Palmer? The combination of those back-to-back matches, it's pushed me over the line.
And that was like the third time he did it this point, year.
Yeah, and I'm at the point of no return, Zach. I mean, he's gonna have to fucking score fucking 20 goals through the rest of the season for me to change my mind about him. But I'm officially Sterling out officially.
I think I am too, but you know, the reality is he's still part of the squad, and if we can squeeze some juice out of him, great. But I think the way Poch is doing that is just completely wrong. And you know, the crazy thing is, if you're Pochettino, you know that the fans don't necessarily think too highly of you right now, right?
Exactly. You're regardless of the
two, regardless of the two cup finals, regardless of this and that, the bottom line is, and this is what all the murmurings are saying, if we don't get Europe, he's out. So if he wants to save his job, it's only in his best interest to look at other options. Look what Mudryk did against Newcastle. Look what he did against the first half, in the first half against Leicester before Pochettino decided to move Sterling central and Mudryk out wide for some damn reason that's beyond me. You know, play guys like Chukwuemeka. Look how good his link-up play is with Nico and Cole. And
oh my God. You know, I mean, as soon as they came on, the game changed completely.
Yeah. And for some reason, you know, as much shit as we give Madueke for, you know, missing easy chances and not really having a right foot, he does have an eye for goal. And I think the commentary said something really interesting about him where they said, you know, he's not necessarily an out-and-out winger as much as he is an inside forward. Like, he does like to get into the box, in and around the area, and pop some shots off. We're going to get to him in a little bit, actually, before I keep ranting. But I want to talk about the other negative that I noticed in this game, and that was Axel Disaski. Like,
I have to say one last thing about Raheem Sterling, okay? The one caveat is that we play City in the semifinals, and we know that his best performances come against City. So I'm going
to start him still.
Okay.
You just said you were out.
But you said his only good performances are against City.
Yeah,
we're playing against City.
But I was using it as an example of like we know the talent is in there. We know he could turn it on when he's, you know, when he's on form, he's brilliant.
But he wasn't in form during those matches. He was out of form and he had good performances.
Yeah, for those matches he was in decent form, but then the following match.
That's the question, man. Shit. I don't know. Yeah. I think we can beat them without him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. Axel Disaski and Robert Sanchez. I'm not going to go through Disaski's stats. Nothing to cry about.
I don't think we need to talk too much about Disaski. The own goal was stupid. It was kind of a fluke. I don't want to talk too much about Disaski. We should talk about.
I think Disaski was more of a fluke performance as a whole. Like, you know, he really struggled to play the ball out of the back, which is something I noticed. And overall, I know he didn't have a lot to do, but as a defender, especially in a match like this where you're playing against the low block, you really can't switch off at any point. And I think that's what Disaski did, you know, on the own goal. But for Robert Sanchez, this is what frustrates me about Poch's man management. Like, I think it's great that he wants to try and include everybody. Awesome. If you're an AYSO coach or a youth level coach, you know, playing in a recreation league, that is the best freaking attribute to have, right?
Yeah.
But this is fucking Chelsea Football Club. What has he done to get another, you know, to get another opportunity? Just like you said, it's indisputable that every Chelsea fan would agree that Raheem Sterling's been a net negative this season. It is indisputable that every single Chelsea fan prefers Petrovic over Robert Sanchez at this point.
Yeah, but Zach, this, I don't understand this. This is a very cactus for managers to have cup keepers. And it, like, Liverpool played Kelleher. Even fucking Leicester. Leicester isn't playing their number one keeper in the FA Cup. The guy who started has started all their cup matches, but that's not their starting keeper in the league. Like, only United are their number one keeper.
But the thing is, and I get that, and we've done it in the past too, where where we've rotated, we brought Willy Caballero in, and blah blah blah. I get that. I totally get it.
And Robert Sanchez isn't so, like, starting off the season, he was okay. Like, he wasn't terrible. Like, he had a pretty good save percentage, but it you know, he had his mistakes. But it's not like we're starting a piece of trash, you know? Like, I'm not saying his performance was good. It was really bad. But I don't think it's, like, a fault for Poch to start him over Petrovic.
I think it is when you look at the context of where we're at. Like, we're just starting to build, you know, a run of games where we've had some maybe not perfect performances, definitely imperfect, but we're starting to score goals. We're starting to get a little bit more fluid. You know, some of the players are getting settled into the starting 11. I'm talking about, you know, the Gallaghers, the Enzos, the Caicedos, Cole Palmer, Nico Jackson. They're constantly getting a run out. Mudrick's finally getting his run out. If you already have something good and you want to keep building long term, it's not in your best interest to rotate your keepers. I get the example with Liverpool, and I get the example with, you know, all the, like, Leicester, for example. Leicester's top of the championship. They're doing just fine.
No, yeah, but they're still
winning the Premier League when they started Kelleher, when Kelleher scored the match-winning penalty against Kepa. I think that was a season they won the league. So, like, those are established teams where you can mix and match a goalkeeper, but nonetheless, the rest of the side is your settled 11. This was our settled 11, but in a season that's been unsettled on the whole. Like, you want to keep the good times going. You want to keep Petrovic in there to keep building that chemistry with those players and to keep getting match experience. Because let's not forget, it's not like he's Alisson, who's 28 or 29 in his prime. How old is he? He's in his early 20s. Robert so like Sanchez, this is a yeah. No. I'm talking about Petrovic. This is a guy. Well, Robert Sanchez too is relatively young, but Petrovic is much younger, and it would only be in his best interest to get him more game time, especially in a game like this where he might not get too many touches. He might not have to get involved that much, but this will teach him how to, you know, sort of keep your focus for a full 90 and only build more confidence. Like, it could only be a positive to start Petrovic in this game.
Yeah, and I'm going to step back, like, walk back on my original point, because I think rotating or having a cup keeper is to save them for the league matches, because Liverpool is still fighting for Premier League title, so it's kind of like if they lose the FA Cup, it's not the end of the world. Leicester, like, yeah, they're in first in the championship, but their number one priority is getting promoted. Like, they prioritize getting promoted over an FA Cup, so they're going to rest the keeper. But for us, we're completely out of the league race. We're not in any other cup competitions. So I think, like, now I'm thinking maybe it does make more sense to start Petrovic, because you don't need to save him for league matches when league matches are, at this point, don't really matter. Like, we're not finishing top five, top six.
And we don't have, like, another league match for another 2 weeks.
And FA Cup is, that's it. It's that's what we're, like, that's our number one priority right now. So I'm walking back on my original point. Maybe he should have started Petrovic.
And
I think that's the more important thing.
Kelleher's playing because Alisson's injured. But I think you can make that Liverpool point about Liverpool when they won the FA Cup a couple years back against us in Pens. Like, that was a season where Alisson was fit and available, and they still went ahead and played Kelleher because he was really good in the cup matches.
But Kelleher starts almost all of their cup matches.
Yeah, but again, it's like, it's a settled side that, you know, it's already firing on all four cylinders.
Yeah, that's true too, but I think it's more because of they want to save the keeper for the league. Otherwise, you know, why wouldn't they play their best 11 always? Because they want to rest them for the league. But, I mean, what you're saying is still true as well. Like, that Chelsea is in a position where we need to settle as an 11. And, you know, that's also true. I think that the rest for the other teams, they're doing it for rest. And we don't need that.
Well, I want to move on to the positives. I think the three... Actually, the four, but we're going to talk about Malagusto and Cucurella in a bit. The three I want to talk about now are Chukwuemeka, Nico Jackson, and Cole Palmer, because they all had their moments of brilliance in this game. And we'll start with Chukwuemeka, since we already touched on him a little bit earlier. But, you know, the guy came on, what was it, the 78th minute? Or was it earlier?
Yeah. Who, Chukwuemeka?
Yeah.
He came on in the 78th.
Yeah, so it comes on in the 78th minute, completes 15 out of 16 passes, creates a chance, takes two shots, scores one of them, has 7 total touches in the opposition box. I mean, Sam, I'll just kind of start by saying what makes him special, and then I'll pass it off to you. But the thing that really strikes me is, for somebody of his age and his size, he has such good awareness of when to hold on to the ball, when to release it. And then when he does release the ball to one of his teammates, he's always making the right run. He's always finding that half inch or half yard of space to be an option for his teammate for a wall pass or a 1-2, as we call it in America, right? And that's, and you saw it on that Cole Palmer goal. But when you said preseason Chukwuemeka, that looked like preseason Chukwuemeka, you're 100% right, because how many times did we see him do that in the preseason with a guy like Nkunku? I'm pretty sure he assisted in Nkunku's goal, not with a back flick, but a similar, you know, 1-2 at the top of the box against Liverpool. So it's like, this is something this guy has in his locker. And as a 10, as somebody who should be playing behind a striker or being the most advanced midfielder, he has that ability that none of our other midfield players do.
Yeah, I agree.
Does he need to start?
I think he is in our best 11, right? But here's the thing.
We talk about game time. I mean, that's a guy that definitely, you know, the more he gets, the better he's going to get.
For sure. Okay. So with Mudryk, he's looked so much better in the middle as opposed to on the left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Cole Palmer, I'm still. I mean, do you think he's better on the right or in the middle?
I mean, we don't have like a better option on the right. I mean, Noni's decent, but
well, besides that, just which one? I'm thinking about who we have that's better.
If you're looking statistically, he's produced more on the coming off of the right to the inside. Okay. But he's not like an out and out right winger. I wouldn't call him that.
Okay. Well, then let's just say that's not his. I'm saying with Mudryk, his best position, I think, is centrally. But yeah, let's say before, you know, without you know, think assuming Nkunku's out for the rest of this season, because I don't know when he's going to come back. Maybe our best 11 is Mudryk on the left, Chukwuemeka in the middle, and Cole Palmer on the right in the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah,
I think that might be it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just any, like, obviously at this point Raheem Sterling's not going to be on it. I think Noni, I don't know, like I still think he has question marks, but I think that every single time Chukwuemeka has played, he hasn't had those question marks. He's looked, for the most part, like he's always contributed.
So he just looks like a player that every time he gets on the ball or every time he makes a cameo, even if he doesn't score or get an assist, it looks like a player that, like, he just oozes that, you know, potential. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can see it. Like, you can see, you're like, oh my God, if this guy gets, you know, a run of games, he can really be, and he stay relatively injury free too. That's key for him. You know, he can be a hell of a player. Like, I think he reminds me a little bit of Loftus-Cheek just because he's like, you know, this really tall, imposing player. He's not as thick as RLC was, but,
Jesus,
you know,
Christ, man. Knocking on wood right now with that comparison.
Well, but I'm talking about like just that technical ability and that smoothness on the ball, you know, the way that the ball stays so close to him and he doesn't, you know, dribble into players aimlessly. Like, he finds that space and he just seems so comfortable around the box. I would agree. I think he should be getting some starts here. And, you know, the Mudryk point is fair. You know, he has been playing really well at the 10. He's been getting more involved in the games. But long term, you know, if we want to build this team long term, Mudryk's not a 10. He's going to be a winger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe like getting him the playing time at winger. And then if you have a guy like Chukwuemeka at the 10, he's going to find Mudryk as an outlet way more often than a Conor Gallagher is in that position.
Yeah. And like, I'm thinking of body, like profile, like actual his body. And Mudryk is like what, 5'9", Like, he's a small guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's so sick having two, six, I think both Cole Palmer and Chukwuemeka are both 6'2".
Yeah.
Like, two big boys out there. Like, that's a really sick idea, I think.
Yeah.
Like, and then having Mudryk, obviously, his body style is more suited for a winger. I think you're right. So,
and I think, you know, the way Cole Palmer likes to drift inside, I think he could combine so well with Chukwuemeka. I mean, we saw it, right? And maybe having a better link up option closer to Nico Jackson is only going to do him more good. And I already talked about the supply line to Mudryk is going to be, you know, on steroids if Chukwuemeka's out there. Mudryk's probably going to receive the ball at least 5 to 7 more times a match.
Yeah.
In the positions he wants to.
You have to think about this too, that, I mean, we're going to talk about Malagusto real quick, but it's way, like, the guy who's playing on the right side has a way better link up option with Malagusto on the right side than they have with Chilwell or Cucurella on the left side.
Adding
a guy like him in the middle, he adds that link up option that he didn't really have before.
Yeah.
Because before it was Connor Gallagher, right?
And we talk about, you know, the inability to manage matches. Like, when we go 1-0 up, 9 times out of 10, we're conceding pressure right away and conceding chances right away. I think having a guy like Chukwuemeka also helps with the ball retention aspect of things. Somebody calm, able to, you know, find the open man, able to hold off defenders, just great awareness, situational awareness overall. I can go ahead and talk about him forever.
Okay, so does he replace... So we're saying Mudryk is the guy who replaced Raheem Sterling.
Mm-hmm.
So who is Chukwuemeka replacing?
Long term, I think he'd have to replace Gallagher. I mean, this summer there's a lot of question marks. He still hasn't signed a new contract.
Okay, but not long term. We're talking FFP. About like, oh right. So
there's a big chance that he can go. But yeah, for the rest of the season, you know, I do, as much as I love Gallagher, and I know we have this bet going, but at some
point... You already won, it's fine.
At some point, something's got to give, right? And the production that you're getting from these quote-unquote bit part players in Chukwuemeka and guys like Mudryk who are just coming into the team and playing in that hole where Gallagher would normally play and actually producing more goals and assists in that limited playing time, I mean... If they really are statistic-based and they're really data analysts and all of this shit working behind the scenes at Chelsea Football Club like we're being told, how are they not seeing this? You know, long, like, not just long-term, but short-term. If we need to score goals and really get after teams and put teams away, which has been probably our biggest flaw this season, you got to play guys like Chukwuemeka. So I do think Chukwuemeka over Gallagher at the moment, depending on who we play. I think if we're playing, you know, higher quality opposition, that's not going to be playing a low block, that's going to have a bit more possession, you want Gallagher in there to sort of, you know, disrupt play and sort of play the game that he played against Man City where he was man-marking Rodri for 90 minutes. But if we're playing against a low block like Leicester or even a team like Newcastle who was sort of sitting back and defending for long parts of the game, you need a Chukwuemeka in there because he has that key that could just unlock a defense in a split second.
Okay.
Nico Jackson, Sam. Assist to Cucurella for his first Chelsea goal. He created 2 chances. One of them was a big chance, obviously the Cucurella goal, but 3 shots, 3 out of 4 dribbles completed, a couple nasty flicks to kickstart attacks. He drew the red card by making beautiful, slick, you know, flick from the outside of the left boot, spun his man, ran into the hole, and... If got taken down for a red card, drew the red card. But is this, he's had a run of games now since AFCON where he's come back, and I know he's still missing some chances, but he has to be coming into his own now, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he is. I mean, he definitely is. I'm loving what I'm seeing. Like the season he's putting on right now, like at the end of the season, his numbers, I think, are going to surpass what I had expected of him. And he still has, you know, the odd like, you know, whatever bad moment here and there, but I think what he contributes to the team, he's definitely like one of the first players on the team sheet.
I think he's a gamer. Like, I know that's an American sports term, but it's just like somebody that's always up for it. He's always going to give you that sort of, even if he's not putting together an 8 or 9 out of 10 performance, whatever it might be, he's going to give you those sevens. Like, he's always going to be running off the ball. He's always going to be providing that energy. He's always going to be a link-up play outlet. And every game, he kind of gives you something a little bit different. Like, you know, sometimes he'll go out there and he'll get his early goal, and we'll see him play like a more traditional 9. Other games, we're seeing him run the channels and essentially act like a winger. Other games, he's playing with his back to goal and, you know, bringing others into play. And it's really starting to find his own. And, mm-hmm. you know, I think he's not at that level yet, but I definitely think he's our second most influential attacking player behind the next person we're going to talk about, who's Cole Palmer. And, I mean, we can't say enough good things about this guy. He has his hands on everything. 8 shots, big chance created, took his goal really well. The assist to Chukwuemeka, which was just saucy. Mm-hmm. Man, I mean, what else can you say about Cole Palmer besides the fact that if Chelsea were in the top 4 conversation, he'd probably win PFA Player of the Year?
Oh, yeah, man, this fool is carrying us. I mean, the season he's having right now, like, the fact that we are in 10th place, like, where the hell would we be without him? I have no idea.
I think he has 25 goals and assists across all more. Competitions.
I think it's March more than that, Zach.
Season.
Well, no, I think it's more than that.
It could be. But I know it's at least 25. I don't have the stat in front of me. I probably should have pulled it up. But like Michael Nine asked an interesting question, and it kind of, you know, ties in with our point that we made when we spoke about the Chukwuemeka conversation. It says, even with Noni scoring a world-class goal today, and let's just take a second and acknowledge that was a fucking sexy-ass goal. He says, I don't think he should start. Chuck seems a far better fit, and Palmer is our best player. Going forward, it should be Mudryk, Gallagher, Palmer, and Jackson, with Chuck rotating into the 10. Noni should get more minutes, but he's still raw.
Yeah, that's pretty much what we said.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think he's right about including Gallagher in there, because, like my point I mentioned earlier, against opponents that are going to be, you know, a little more dominant in possession or control the midfield battle more, you do need Connor Gallagher out there to offset it, because you don't want Enzo and Caicedo chasing players around for 90 minutes by themselves. The other positives, though, in this game, and I think they both deserve a shout, Malo Gusto, obviously, and Mark Cucurella, who had, you know, coming off of a long injury, played well against Newcastle and played well against Leicester, and even got his first goal for us. Made 2 tackles on the day, 6 clearances, 8 ball recoveries, so he's super active, even though the back line really didn't have much to do outside of the 2 goals. But CFC Earl asks an interesting question before we get on to Gusto. He asks, Cucurella, minus the minor error against Newcastle, has been pretty good. If Chilwell gets another injury, do we sell Chilwell instead? So this is a question specifically for the conductor of the Chile train.
Yeah, well, first of all, Cole Palmer has 28 goals in all competitions, so I was off. Is it time to have the Chilwell conversation? I think I already started it, but man has not been the same player since he's come back from injury. Like, I think it's in his head. Like, he's scared to get hurt again. I don't know. Well, I don't think we need to sell either of them, to be honest. Like, do we have to sell Cucurella?
I don't think so. I mean, how much are we really going to get for him is the problem, especially at this point.
Yeah, neither of them are homegrown. Both of them we're going to sell at a loss.
He's English.
For a pure profit, I mean.
Oh, like,
that's what I mean. So, you know, we spent, how much did we, 60, 70 on him? Something like that?
It was around 50 for Chilwell and then 60-ish for Cucurella.
Yeah, so I don't think we're going to get profit on either of them. So I don't think that selling either of them is a high priority. Like, unless, like, you know, we've seen the Alphonso Davy links, but I don't think there's a chance that happens.
Oh, no, he's going to Real.
So I don't know what other left back options are out there that we can go after. Like, I'm okay maybe for another season continuing with these two.
I think, yeah. I mean, that's the point I was going to make. It's like, okay, Cucurella is not great going forward, and he's definitely not a wing back like Chilwell is.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, he's solid. You know, I love how aggressive he is in the tackle. He brings this sort of like tenacity and this aggressiveness to the game that we don't really have in a lot of other players. I mean, I think the only other guys that you can maybe throw into that is Malo Gusto has some bite. Caicedo has some bite, but he also has a lot of yellow cards. And, yeah, you know, Conor Gallagher, the same. I think those are the guys that sort of, like, I kind of lump them into that conversation of De Sassi as well. Those are guys that are going to come in, and you know that when they go in for a tackle, they're going to go in at 100 miles an hour. And mm-hmm. they're going to clean you out when they get the ball, you know, after they get the ball. And I think having a guy like that, especially as a backup in Cucurella, is brilliant. I mean, he's been pretty damn good across the whole of this season. Even before the injury, he was in a yep. really good run of form. So, you know, what has, you know, I get it. He had a slow start. He might not be the 60 million pound, you know, fullback that we bought, but he's not crap. I don't even think he's, you know, I think he's pretty damn good. If you're talking about just an out and out defensive player, if you're going to complement Cucurella with a full on attacker on the other side, and have Cucurella sort of be like the, you know, in FIFA terms, the fullback that's on stay back.
Yeah.
Then great. That's exactly what he's good at, and you're maximizing his talent.
And to bring in another FIFA term, man's got ping pass plus. Like, he's got one of the cleanest, like, quickest, sharpest passes like I've ever seen, honestly. Like,
he smacks it, doesn't he? He kind of hits it like a hockey puck.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I you know, he may not be good going forward, but I think that his distribution is pretty good.
It's definitely improved. I know that was a big criticism we had of him
earlier. It may not be the most accurate, but it's pinged for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Malo Gusto, and just to answer CFC's Earl's question, I think it's ridiculous to consider selling Chilwell.
It's not ridiculous, but I don't think we should sell either.
But Malo Gusto, Sam, I mean, the guy's... I love him. I love him so much. And what sucks is that my two favorite players in this entire Chelsea side are both of our right backs.
Yeah, I almost forgot about Reece James. That's how good Malo Gusto is. I'm not even worried about Reece James. He can take as long as he wants to come back from injury.
So, I mean, 51 passes completed at 93% completion, which is ridiculous for an attacking fullback that's constantly bombing forward. Two chances created, four tackles, which is the most in the match, six passes into the final third, nine ball recoveries, and another assist. Another one. I don't think this guy's dropped anything less than like a 7.5 all season. Every single time he goes out onto the pitch, he's our standout player, he's our best defender, and most of the time he's our best attacker too. You know, if Cole Palmer is not banging, Malo Gusto is. And, you know, that's a relationship that's just, you know, combining so well, and it's really brewing something special.
Dude,
long term. No, this is a question I wanted to pose to you because, you know, we know Reece is, you know, going to come back at some point, maybe the end of this month, maybe beginning of next month. I don't know exactly when, but, you know, I've made the argument that maybe you could play Malo Gusto as a left back and maybe he can outplay Chilwell for that starting role.
Yeah.
But if you want to maximize him, you play him as a right back. Who would be opposed to Reece James being a right center back?
Yeah, we've had this conversation where we could play my right center back or maybe as defensive mid.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, will it prolong his career? That's the thing I keep going back and forth on. It's like,
I'm not so much worried about that. I'm worried about getting the best out of Chelsea. Like, if Malagusto is our best right back, play him. And if Reece James can play right center back and CDM, like, I'm not even thinking about that for his longevity. I'm thinking about what's the best 11. You know what I mean?
Yeah, agreed.
Because no matter what position he plays, he's going to have to run. He's going to have to make sharp turns, like cuts. Like, I don't think it's going to make... I think if there's a difference, it's marginal. Like, the more important consideration is, what's the best 11? And I think, dude, look at these stats. Per 90, Malagusto versus Premier League right backs. He's first in crosses, key passes, progressive runs, passes to final third percentage. He's second in assists, accelerations, interceptions, offensive duels, and he's third in expected assists. Like, he's putting up, this is a per nine on a per 90 basis, but he's one of the best, if not the best, right back going forward. And I know this was something that Reece James, that was a huge part of his game too, but we'll have to see how he returns back from injury. But Malagusto might be our best right back.
My worry with him is that if Reece does come back and gets thrusted back into the starting 11 at Gusto's detriment, I don't think Gusto will be here too long, because I think a Real Madrid or a club of that ilk is going to come calling. And
yeah, I mean, but he's that good. He can play. He can still play left back.
Like, yeah.
If Reece James comes back and he's better than Malagusto, that means he's fucking on top of his game. I don't mind playing Malagusto on the left, even if it's not getting the best out of him, because, again, our best 11, he's our best left back, right?
Yeah.
And if Reece James is outperforming him on the right side, you're going to go to the left and you're still going to have positive contributions, but it's not going to be the same. Like, obviously, like every time he's played left back, he's had to rely on the cutback to try to play a ball in, but he still is contributing. So I'm not as worried about it moving forward. Like, I think that there are ways to make it work. And if another team comes and wants to buy him, we'll make a fat profit, because we only got him for like less than 20 million or 20 million.
Yeah, something like that. I do genuinely think that, you know, as much as I want him to be here for the long haul, I think he's too good. I think he's going to get that move to Real Madrid, a Barcelona, if they can afford him, you know, that kind of move. But anyways, I mean, that kind of brings us to the end of this episode. I don't want to review the Burnley match because, you know, we still have a little while, see how the international break plays out, who's going to be available and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, that's the end of this pod. And, you know, if you guys aren't following us on Twitter, make sure you are at Blues on Parade. We do post the questions tweet after every match. So if you'd like your question read out during the podcast or answered, or your commented on, just let us know and write under that post, or just write to us in general, and we'll be sure to include it here. So until then, let's keep the blue flag flying high.